Hey.
Hey, Greg.
We almost need someone to, like, you know, introduce us, like, and now we have...
Greg, all I can say is game on.
Yeah? Do you want to...
You know I have something? Direct access to some Jamaicans.
Always with the Jamaicans.
Leave it with me, my friend.
Okay. But not Jamaican. Do something else.
How about... I really feel we need some Mexican accent. Well, I mean, I know that's Spanish, but, you know, specifically a Mexican Spanish accent.
Okay. All right. That's you do your thing.
I'll see what I can come up with.
Sweet. That'll be great.
But this makes me way more excited than it really should.
I feel like it would be nice to not have that awkward silence and then, like, hi.
It's funny because I don't find it awkward. I think it's quite amusing to see who will talk first.
Yeah.
I think we actually say this every time as well.
Yeah. I pretty much just go, hello, just to, like, break the tension.
So how are you?
Hungover.
Why is that?
Went out on the town with a couple of photographers, Chris Turner. And Ethan Lowry, the couple of guys that everyone probably knows.
Just the two of them?
Yeah. We kind of said, it was because we've chatted online lots, but I've only met Chris once and I'd never met Ethan. And I was like, guys, we should just, like, get together. And so we did. And we all sort of said, oh, should we invite other people or, you know, whatever? And then we just kind of didn't get around to it. And so we just... It's just the three of us and another guy, Tim, who was a graphic designer type friend of Chris's. My memory's foggy. But that was a good night.
Poor Greg. He's a bit on the bruised side. It's funny because when you mentioned to me last week that you were hanging out with these guys, I kind of thought it was a photographer Christmas party thing.
Right.
Yeah, but that sounds like fun. Just a couple of your crew, your photographer crew.
Yeah, just had a few beers and I had to be in town the next morning, this morning. So I actually stayed at Ethan's house. He's got this massive house with far too many rooms. It worked out really well. So now I'm home.
Sweet.
How are you, mister? You've just been on a bike ride. You're wearing your trademark wife beater, I see.
My black wife beater.
Black wife beater.
I didn't mean that sounds so bad.
Yeah.
My shirt is black. and if you don't know that, I'm sure that's a common term all over the world, right? That you call a singlet.
It really is an awful term.
A wife beater. It's pretty bad.
I'm not going to use it anymore.
No, I totally still am.
I probably will.
Yeah, I know. It was awesome. We went out for a bike ride and rode around, had some lunch. You know, that self-employed life. Sweet. And got back, went to Bunnings, and then came home, and here we are.
Nice.
But it's just had a massive bit of rain outside. So, good to be back inside and chatting with you, my friend.
Oh, thanks.
Anything, I don't know, anything suspicious or scandalous or super interesting to report about anything?
Just trucking along. It's kind of cool getting to the end of the year. A lot of the, I know, like, Xero and your accounting software and all of that usually runs on the financial year, you know? But
yeah.
I like to keep a calendar year of all my, just basically if I book a wedding, I just have a spreadsheet and I say, on this date, I booked this wedding for this much.
Yeah.
And I just do it all year. So it's kind of nice now, because I've been doing it for a few years, I can look at
compare
December and go back and look at last year.
Yeah.
And I just like it. I'm getting to the end of my year, so my totals are, you know, looking kind of exciting. And
yes.
It's nice to compare this year to last year and all that.
Good stuff.
Big purchase for me today.
Oh, what'd you get?
Oh, I already told you.
Yeah.
The umbrella, yeah. So... It's these they're these huge, like a commercial outdoor umbrella, and brand new. They cost $4,800, and this company that sells them in South Auckland, they installed a whole bunch in the school, but there was an old model umbrella there that they replaced. They took it out. And it needed a bit of work, and so they fixed it up, and then they put it on Trade Me. And I got it for $500.
That's amazing.
It's a 5-meter umbrella. It is massive.
And you're going to put it on your balcony?
On the deck, yeah.
And it's one of those ones that kind of has an arm over the top?
You've got it, like a cantilevered.
Yeah, and it holds itself. Yeah,
and then it suspends the umbrella, so you can put your table or it'll go. So I'll put the stand in the corner of the deck, and it'll protract. Is that the word? Out?
I don't know. Mate, yeah. You're the scientist, mate.
It'll be good. And so corner to corner on that part of the deck, it's 5.8 meters. And so this thing's going to be the whole corner of the deck.
You know what is going to be so good? Well, if you can lie on a beanbag under that while listening to Typo Negative.
Well, guess what, buddy? We have 4 beanbags on our deck and outdoor speakers.
So good.
All with Apple AirPlay, so I can sit there and just go, I can ask Siri to play any song and it'll just play.
I'm tempted to come back and visit you just to experience that.
When you were here this year, the weather was pretty terrible, wasn't it?
Yeah, we stayed inside pretty much the whole time, which was really fun.
That was nice.
It was, yeah.
Hey, and just one other thing. I am encouraged by this month. November was a shocker for me. Mm. And I was like, pack it up. It's all over. And then this month, it seems like everyone's gone on holiday and they're like, okay, sort out the wedding. And then like, you know, I can have some time off.
So you haven't been getting heaps of emails and stuff. Is that what you mean?
December is good. December has been very good. November was junk.
But are you talking from the point of view of bookings or from the point of view of hassle, things that are problems popping up?
Oh, no, bookings.
Bookings, okay.
Yeah, right. No, actual money in the bank bookings.
Mate, December's been, it's just not, it's like a wasteland for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just so slow. And I remember it happening last year as well.
Okay.
This time of year. December and January, early January are often really slow.
So this is where it's really nice to have records. And for me, I just love that month by month because I can sort of, it eases that unknown of, is this a bad month or have I made some big mistake on my website or whatever? And you can look back and go, oh yeah, I can see, you know, last whatever November was crappy as well. And
it's funny you say that. So I hadn't thought of doing that, which is really dumb, but this spreadsheet just tracks my inquiries.
Okay.
And it tracks where they come from. Because I always ask people in my contact form, one of the questions is, where did you find out about me? Because I think that's a really important question to ask people. So I started tracking these in July last year. So if I look at December this year, so where we are now.
Yeah.
So far I've had 30 inquiries.
Yeah.
Which is pretty low for me. Yeah. If I look at December last year, I had 22 for the whole month.
Okay.
So like you said, you look at that and then you see, oh, okay, it wasn't, so I didn't need to worry. And in January this year, I had 78. So it was a huge difference. So yeah, by looking at the stats from the year before, you can be like, oh, don't worry. This is for whatever reason in my market, this is a slow period. Obviously, the number of inquiries doesn't necessarily change the number of bookings, but it probably does a little bit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's all percentages, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
I'm just trying to figure out if I can easily find out how many inquiries I've had for... That was just for this December, right?
Yeah, so like from 1 December until now.
So I can't do it as smoothly as you. Oh, it's all come up with your... I went onto my email and just typed in, like, you know, you have a new inquiry.
Oh, to count them all, yeah.
Yeah, like a jerk.
Typical.
I talked for a lot. Do you need to talk? What's going on with you?
I have 3 more weddings until the end of the year. So I have 1 tomorrow, 1 on Saturday, and a really little one on 4 hours on Sunday.
Oh, well.
No, nothing, man. I don't really... It's funny when people say, what's been happening? I'm just like, honestly, like, just the same. I don't know. Just lately, it's been just plug away. And I'm aware that I sound a little jaded too. I think it's just that end of the year and the last 3 months has been out of control. And I'm sure it has for many of you guys listening. Just really busy period. Well, at least in the Southern Hemisphere. if you're up in the northern hemisphere, probably it's your slow period, I'm imagining. No, man. All good here. All good. I'm a happy man. Everything's good.
I've also got a wedding on Friday and Saturday, but that's it for me. I don't have yours. Oh, no, but then I've got something in between.
That's frustrating.
Hang on. I think it's an engagement shoot.
So oh, that's fun.
It's all good. We'll go to sunset. Fun. Sunset fun. Cool, bro. Should we box on?
So let's do some snap downage.
Hey, yo, make sure so you tune in. You know, you have to tune in, because guess what? The thing matter, white name, the snap down. No, my selector.
You go first.
Okay. So, can you see what is behind my head? No one listening can, but can you?
What
if I do that? Can I move away from the microphone?
No.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to take my headphones off and I'm going to move away and I'm going to spin 360
Tom,
degrees.
I have news for you. I wasn't going to say anything. My Skype froze about 1 minute into our conversation and it's just a picture of you.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, just who cares? I don't need to tell them. And okay. I got found out.
Wow. So you've been missing out on all these amazing facial expressions I've been... Oh,
I've just got this like very serious picture of you on my desktop.
Do you want to...
it's good.
Do you
it's
want
fine.
To call me back? It's
no,
fine.
No, we're good. I was like, I didn't think you'd find out.
I know, I don't. It doesn't matter. Well, I won't do what I was going to do, but I'll tell you what I have. So I bought... For ages, I've had... a desk chair, an office chair from Officeworks, which you guys have Officeworks, don't you?
No.
You have an equivalent?
Do we? No, we got a different thing.
Like a Bunnings, but of office stuff.
We have...
Can you hear the rain?
Yes, just.
Oh, man, it is hammering down outside. Sorry if you guys can all hear if the rain is loud. So I've had this office chair from Bunnings for ages, like this fake leather, it was like $150 or whatever. And then Michelle and I were talking and she sat down on my office chair and she was like, wow, this has absolutely no support. This is a terrible thing for you to be sitting on.
You're back. It just unfroze.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, the pleasure is all yours.
Okay. Look at this chair.
Okay. Ready? I'm going to do this thing. Oh, now you're frozen.
Ah,
classic. You're looking at your phone. So you can see me. You can see I'm moving.
Yes.
Okay. Watch this. Hold on 1 second. Watch.
Oh, ooh la la. Yeah, very nice. 360.
Did you see what I did?
Mm-hmm. You did the spin.
Okay. I'll just tell you what I did. I bought a chair, a really nice office chair. The brand is Secret Labs.
Ooh.
I think it's actually a gaming chair.
Looks like it. It's a high back.
Yeah. It's made
for people
like,
that can't see, which is everyone.
You know the comic book store... You know the comic book store guy from The Simpsons?
Yes.
It's made for his type. So it's made for like dudes who like would stay in their house pretty much all day, every day, except to go out and get food and Red Bull.
Yeah.
And while they're in the house, they're just on their chair gaming like all day, every day.
Is it good? Is the chair good?
Oh, it's really comfy. So
you need it.
It takes about an hour to put together.
Mm-hmm. So how long did it take you about?
4 hours. No, oh, I got Michelle to do it.
I was just going to say.
No, I did it myself, but it was hard. It's got everything that like a really high-end, say, car seat would have. Like it hasn't got a massagey thing, but it's got all lumbar support. You can adjust the hardness. Oh. It's got every tilt and every option possible. Just a really high-end, really comfortable chair, but not super expensive. It was like $550.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was $600. I don't know. So yeah, now sitting at my desk, I feel like my back is being taken better care of.
Mm-hmm.
And we do sit at our desks a lot. So
do you find that you hunch sometimes when you're at your desk?
I'm not too much of a huncher. I'm more of a sloucher.
Okay.
So like I would find myself lowering down in my chair to the point where, well, I guess that kind of is hunching. Yeah. Definitely an unhealthy sitting position.
Because I recline.
I'm kind of the same.
I either recline or I hunch. And when I find myself hunching, I'm like, no. And I go, because you see how I'm sitting now? I'm like really super like...
Mate, I don't want to break it to you, but I can't see how you Skype's present.
But so that's cool, man. And I can see the back on that thing is high as. And you've got one of those Hello Kitty pillows that a lot of the Asian girls like to have in their cars.
Ooh,
It's true. That's a true thing. Like,
is that right?
Hello Kitty pillow up top.
This is the second racist comment that we've made.
I don't know if that's racist. It's actually just what I have observed.
Okay. We'll just file that under moving right along.
Ambiguous racist comment. Yeah.
The cushion actually came with the chair.
Sure did.
So it says Secret Labs on it. So it's a Secret Labs Titan. Anyway, that's my first snap down. It's an awesome chair. Check it out.
Nice.
Oh, it is hammering down outside.
Yeah, I think I can hear it.
Do you want to do a snap down and then I'll quickly follow with my last one?
Sure. Would I? If I can find it. Yeah, okay. Now, my one is for Studio Ninja people. Do you use the workflow? Yeah, you really like the workflow thing in Studio Ninja.
I'm all about the workflow.
Smash it. I created 3 workflows. One for people that just want photography.
Mm-hmm.
One for people that want photography and videography.
Mm-hmm.
And then one for the very, very odd time when we just do a video on its own.
Okay.
I think we've done two of them or something. But it was all getting a little bit confusing and dumb. And what I realized is the best thing to do is just to have one workflow, but have everything on it. Everything you could possibly think of. And for me, I'm really honing in on the after-wedding things. So it's the editing, like, okay, I've edited the wedding, that's one. But then I'm just going to assume everyone's getting an album. I'm going to assume everyone's getting a video, assume everyone's getting everything. And that way I can just tick the things that don't apply off or leave the things that do apply there.
I got it.
So rather than having different workflows for different people, I'm just throwing the book at one workflow. And if they aren't getting a video, that's cool. I just tick it and it's gone.
Yep.
That's my little thing.
I actually do exactly the same thing.
Mm.
So I think it's easier. That way when you get a lead that comes in, you don't have to choose which workflow to apply. And then if they say inquire with one level of package, like photography, no video, you start that workflow. If they then upgrade to a one with videography, then you're like, what do I do?
Yeah.
Because I don't think you can easily delete a workflow and replace it unless you go back through and re-tick things.
Well,
am I right on that?
It says in there that workflows cannot be changed.
But they can be deleted, but they can't be modified.
Yes. Okay, right. But no, but you can go in and modify one. You can add new items to a workflow.
Yes.
But only one. Like, you have to go one by one by one.
That's right. Not in
which is
bulk,
kind of... It's strange that you can't... See, what I don't like, and if anyone from Studio Ninja ever listens to this, what I don't like is that, like, for me, I'm like, oh, I've got this great new workflow. Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah.
But I can't apply it to anything now. I've got...
Oh, because you'd have to apply it retroactively.
Yeah. Retrospective, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's a bit annoying.
Well, but, do you know what I think? I understand why that is, though, because it'd be really hard for them to... like second guess you. Imagine if they allowed you to change your workflow. That would necessarily mean all the previous things you've ticked would be unticked because they can't guarantee that the two workflows have any of the same items.
Yeah, I suppose. You know? Yes, you're quite right. The only things that could tick would be time sensitive things, you know, like it knows the date today. It knows there's a date, so they can be ticked. But you're quite right. Yep. But see, this is the other thing I would love Studio Ninja to do. This is turning into a Studio Ninja rant.
Cast the Studio Ninja-ing.
When you've got your jobs page open,
yeah,
so it shows all your jobs, I'd love to be able to click change or you know, update workflows without going into a job. So you can scan your eye down and go, oh, that I can, you know, update, click these ones, whatever, a little drop-down menu or something, or... Even if it says like, oh, okay, so it says next task, I think, on the very far right. Okay, I'll get my facts right on this.
Mate. I'm pretty sure, I know what you're saying, and I'm pretty sure that's like in the pipeline.
In the pipeline?
Yeah, I think a few people have asked about that.
Yeah, so you go to jobs and on the very, very... It shows your workflow progress and there's a progress bar. That's nice. And then it says next task. It would just
you want
be,
a tick box right there.
It would just be nice to be like, oh, and you could click that next task and that becomes the current task. You know, that's like, okay, you're up to here now.
Yeah.
Totally. And then you could just click it again and it would take you to the next task, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you.
All right, rant over.
Now I'm in my jobs and I'm like urgently wanting to tick a bunch of things off.
Tick off. That's fine.
I'm going to skip my next snap down because it was a bit shit. And also, I just kind of made it up on the spot. So, yeah.
Okay, well, I believe you had a major big topic you wanted to hash out.
Yeah. It was a very interesting scenario. So, I want to talk about first looks. So, Greg, I'm sure that 99% of people listening know what a first look is. Wherever that term even came from, I think it was coined by maybe some North American photographers. But can you just quickly?
I thought you were going to say you thought it was coined by Adam when he first looked at Eve.
It's actually a biblical term.
What? So you want me to tell the people?
I was about to make a joke that would have pissed off a lot of people.
Offended.
Yeah.
A percentage of our audience.
Can you just please explain what a first look is?
I think the idea is it's the groom is already, the bride is already, but they haven't seen each other yet. And you go, you take them both to a place and they basically... look at each other for the first time. Now, it could be before the ceremony. That's, I think when we say first look, that's usually what we mean. First look. It's like before the ceremony. But
exactly.
I had one recently where the groom turned around, the bride walked down the aisle, and when she got there, he turned around. So it was kind of like a first look.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
I thought that was really cool, actually. But yeah. That's kind of what happens anyway. At the ceremony, there is that first look moment, no matter how you do it. Anyway, how'd I go?
No, you smashed it. So should I tell you what happened to me, and I'll explain why I want to talk about this?
Sure.
So I had a wedding on the weekend, and it was a really awesome wedding. And what the couple wanted to do was have a little first look just before they walked down the aisle together. So. Normally, the first look would be, you know, like maybe half an hour before the ceremony or 1 hour before the ceremony. And they would have this little moment together. They would meet together, see each other together and share that moment. And then by the time the wedding comes, the tension is gone and, you know, they feeling a bit more relaxed than they would have felt otherwise. It's a lovely idea. So in this occasion, the groomsmen and the bridesmaids had all walked down the aisle and were waiting up the front. And, the groom was waiting just around the corner out of sight of the guests and the bride would come and meet him. They would share a very brief moment and they would then immediately walk down the aisle together.
That's nice.
Yeah, really nice idea. So what I usually do with a first look is I kind of conduct it, I choreograph it and I say to the groom, stand here, face this way, don't turn around until you're... like the bride or the other groom tells you to turn around, right?
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you do?
Yeah, you do. Because you don't get good shots, basically.
It's tough, yeah. Because, you know, you don't know what ways, who's going to turn what way and you don't know when they're going to turn and whatever.
Yeah.
But in this case, it was kind of an unorthodox first look because it wasn't the way it normally went. And so... Yeah. In all this, I didn't choreograph it as much as I usually do. The only thing I did was that the groom was waiting in a particular spot and he was looking the way that the bride was coming.
Okay.
And I kind of just forgot to say to him, like I forgot to choreograph it that much. I did say to him, are you going to be standing right where you are when the bride approaches you? And he goes, yep. And I was like, sweet. So I put myself in a position where I could see his face and where I could easily see her coming.
Mm.
So then I was shooting his face. I got a bunch of frames of him watching for her. Then I saw her coming. So I flicked over to get a few frames of her arriving. Then when I had a few of her, I turned back to him and he wasn't there. So what he'd done is he had seen her and started to walk towards her. Yeah. So, and the way I was positioned, as he started walking, I couldn't see him because he was obscured by a bunch of ferns.
Wow.
So what I had to do was quickly run around behind her to shoot his face because he was crying.
Right.
Right. So I was like, oh no. So I quickly ran around the back of her to get his face. By the time I got there, he then turned his back to me and they both started walking to where he'd been originally. And so inside I'm like, no. So all I got were the backs of them. Then I was like, okay, no worries. So I quickly ran to my original spot where I could see them both. And I got like just, I did get some shots like that I needed, but it's basically 2 seconds after I got there, he turned around again. Like he's so caught up in the moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of course, he's the last thing he's thinking of is me. And I totally understand that. And luckily I still got, you know, shots that show his face and his reaction. Then I did one more thing and I tried to go all the way around the ferns. Probably this doesn't make sense if you're just listening. I tried to go right around and see his face again. And for the third time I got there and he turned around again. And like he obviously wasn't thinking. And of course I hadn't told him, I hadn't said stay there, don't move. So I guess then they walked down the aisle and it was fine. But I just, I got frustrated with myself because I had in the whole hoo-ha of the wedding and everything, I had forgotten my usual my usual planning techniques. And as a result, I didn't get as many shots as I would usually get of that, even though I did still get the ones I need. Mm-hmm. So I just was wondering in these situations with first looks, how much input you do have in planning them? Like what do you say to your couples before a first look, and how much input do you actually have?
I think we're about the same. I think talking about a normal first look, I put the groom in a place and he'll be facing away from the bride, and then the bride would walk up behind him and tap him on the shoulder, turn around, or sometimes he just turns around when like she says. So I just basically tell the groom, don't turn around until you're told to. Either you're tapped on the shoulder or it's time to turn around. So that's kind of the input they have for me is that they know just do not turn around.
Okay.
Now, one thing I do is the bridal party, I usually have them far away, but so that they can see what's happening. And then it's kind of cool when like the first look happens and they go, yay, and cheer. And it's kind of a nice little moment.
Okay. So you choreograph it to some extent, but you do let a lot of things happen organically.
Yeah, but I always get confused. I'm never sure, because with one, me being on my own, I'm never really sure if I should be focusing on the groom or the bride. I'm always like, oh man, like I really wish I could just cover both at once. It's probably the one instance where I could do with a second shooter.
Right, it's like the only one, pretty much.
Do you feel that way?
It's the only part of the day where I wish there was someone else. And then after that, I could be like, see you later, bye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just for a minute. Just for like 30 seconds.
I'll tell you how I generally get around that. And this is for a first look, which is ahead of time. So you have generally just the couple or the bridal party are there as well, kind of out in the corner. Mm. So I'll put, and this is assuming you have a groom and a bride, or, you know.
Sure.
Good. When I say groom and bride, I'm partner one, partner two. I'm going to say groom and bride because it's the most common situation we have to deal with. So I'll put the groom in a particular spot and I'll face him to me and I'll say, or to whichever direction I want him to face, and I'll say, you're not allowed to turn around until you can't turn around until she tells you to turn around. And usually he's like, oh, what do I do? He's like, just wait there, do whatever you want, don't do anything, you just don't look back or turn around until it's obvious that you have to.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so he'll wait there nervously. I'll duck over to wherever the bride is hiding and I'll talk to her and I'll say, I want you to really slowly at a wandering pace, walk up to behind him. When you get 2 meters from him, I want you to stop and wait for my signal.
So this is exactly what I do.
Really?
I just didn't talk about it. Yeah.
Oh, this is kind of what I wanted to flesh out, because like I could have done it better on the weekend, you know? And I just wanted to see if your method was the same.
The key is the slow walk.
Do you even say stop at a certain point?
I tell them, yeah. I say like 2 meters away, I want you to pause. And then it's just like, take a bunch of photos. And then I tell them, all right, when I say go, from there, you just ignore me altogether. Like I do not exist. And
that's great.
And the next thing I tell them, well, I try and get this out early, but I say, there will come a point where you've had your first look, you've hugged, you've kissed, and then you go, now what? And you look at me. When you feel the urge to do that, just keep hugging, keep kissing.
Mm.
Don't think, oh, what does the photographer want me to do now? Just be in the moment. And when you're ready, then we can do the next thing. But don't worry about me.
Nah. That's really nice.
Because I had too many where they're like, first look, okay, now what? And they look at me and go, now what? And I'm like, no, guys.
Come on.
Sorry, Tom. Now, what about you?
No. Yeah, I did. The only thing I do different, like maybe you do it as well, is after I get him to pause, sorry, her to pause, say 2 meters behind him, I will, the reason for the pause is that's the point. So up until that point, I'm shooting, looking at him and he's looking at, he can see me and I'm shooting an alternation of between
her
his
to
face.
Him, her to him.
Yeah, exactly. So you're seeing her approach and walking and then you're seeing him like really nervous. And then,
can I ask, is that normally with the 35 lens?
I'm usually further back. So I'm usually 85.
85? Okay.
Yeah. Then when she pauses, I then walk to the side and I get a wide shot with the 35 of him standing in front of her, both looking in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a little silence there where I get that wide shot.
Yeah.
And then I go around behind her and I angle, like position myself so I can clearly see his face, and I really hope that he turns the correct way.
I see.
Sometimes I say to him, when she comes and tells you to turn to the right. But like I don't want to stage it too much. So if I tell him that, he's thinking of that, he's not in the moment, you know?
Yeah.
And then I give her whatever signal I've said to keep going. Like I don't know, I yell out like a seagull noise, like ah ah. That's the signal to go or whatever. Like a wolf cry. and then she goes up, and then so that's kind of what I do. And then like that your suggestion of basically telling them to just keep going when they start feeling weird about it is a really good one.
Yeah, thanks. I find it helps. Well, it's just that whole thing. But and also I really liked at that moment, if the bridal party can see and they can like give a bit of a cheer, I find like it just, I don't know, there's no tension, there's no awkwardness. Yeah. Everyone's like, yay. And then the bridal party might come over and then there's that little group moment. And then you're like, okay, guys, come on, we got like work to do.
Yeah, let's go. So do you prefer doing a first look to a normal reveal at a ceremony, or do you not really have a preference?
Nah, I don't like the first looks.
Really?
Here's why. I think they are a bit of a cop out. I think I would rather preserve the moment at the ceremony when the groom sees the bride for the very first time walking down the aisle with all the friends and family, and he's like all like nervous and excited and so emotional. I think that is ruined if you have a first look, because he's just like, meh, I just saw her like half an hour ago. It's so easy. Yeah. It's all good.
That's good points.
This is totally, and I know it's, there are pros and cons either way, but for me personally, if I was getting married, I would not do a first look. I'd preserve that ceremony moment. But I get that some people really love the first look, and for timing and everything, it works. Like, I get it. I wouldn't talk anyone out of it, but My preference would be to do it the traditional way. Yeah.
What would your opinion change if a particular groom was very nervous about showing emotion in front of a bunch of people? So he might feel more comfortable being his real self, just the two of them, or in the two of them and you.
I don't know, Tom. I'm I think that people need to.
Man up
was the term I was going to use. Yeah, like it's a wedding. You need to be brave.
Yeah.
And I think that if you're using it as a to escape that that emotion, that awkward emotion or whatever, that fear. Mm. It's I don't know, but that's me.
I'll tell you my problem with first looks generally, and I don't know whether this would lead me to say I prefer a normal ceremony reveal, but my problem is if you're having a ceremony at 4:30 and the sun is, you want to have your portraits at like 6 o'clock or whatever, because the light is better. If you're going to do a first look, you know what I'm going to say, don't you?
Exactly. This is like the whole other reason why they're...
It's like I did one a few months ago where ceremony was whatever, 4:30. The first look was at like 3. So everything had to be finishing earlier. Hair, makeup, finishing early. Then we had to do this first look in Aussie summer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which is not a great time to have.
3 photos. Is late. Like, well, first looks, I find them to be at 1 o'clock, 1:30.
Oh, gee. No,
because they want to have an hour of photography and then they want to go to the ceremony for 3 o'clock.
See, I tell them, in that case, I basically tell them no. If they want that, I say no. I'm not doing an hour of portraits at 1 p.m. or no way. I say we can do the first look, do 10 minutes of photos with the bridal party, but I want you to reserve your photos of the two of you for after the ceremony because the light, it's not worth it. It's too bright.
Man, and you get the photos back from shoots like that and you're just like, these cannot be made to look good. Anyway, so that's a whole extra reason why first looks are the worst.
I don't necessarily agree with you on that, but there are definitely some logistical issues. In fact, I was thinking of putting a thing on my website because whenever someone says, oh, what do you mean the light's harsh? And I say, well, you never look at any photographer's Instagram, you're never going to see harsh light photos because no one shares them. No. So I was thinking of putting a comparison on my site on a page and being like, here's what a harsh light portrait looks like. Mm-hmm. Here's what a soft light portrait looks like as like an example. All right. So divided opinions about first looks, eh? Interesting.
Very divided. So when the groom turns around, you are behind the bride.
Yes, like a little offside.
You're really getting his reaction.
Oh, that's all I care about in the first look. Yeah,
and then as soon as he turns around, are you like all around just all over the place?
If he's blubbering, then I try and stay on him. But I try and just basically helicopter for a while because get both of their faces and whatever.
Yeah. I did one a few months ago, and I got a lot of shots of him. And I kind of forgot about her a little bit. Luckily, they kept hugging for like ages. So I kind of realized and was like, oh, whoops-a-daisy, I better take some photos of the bride now. And I could like, I brought them forward in the album, to make it look like it was all at the same time.
I know that sometimes, it's so cheeky.
But yeah, hey, cool. Sorry. Yep.
I feel like I've really, we've gotten to where I wanted to get in that one. So let's table that.
Now, I kind of have a somewhere I need to be soon. So, could we just quickly go over? I've got a very large question here from Liam.
Do it.
Is it okay if we go over that?
Oh, yeah, that's what I was... Yeah, let's get into that.
All right. This is huge and long, and I'm going to read it.
That's what she said. Come on.
Okay. Hey, Snap Masters. He refers to us as the Snap Masters.
Correctly,
I kind of like. he's asking us... I'm just getting through this first... listen to every app. He's got a specific question. To date, I have only second shot one wedding and borrowed a 5D Mark III from the main photographer. I currently have a crappy 700D and a 50mm 1.8, which I am just about to replace with a real camera so I can go second shooting for more people. I'm going to get the 5D Mark IV and stick with Canon as the second hand gear and lenses are more widely available.
Cool.
And tends to be a bit cheaper than the Sony's. Here is my problem. I'm not buying a second body until I shoot a wedding by myself. I can't justify the spend while shooting for free. Okay, so I guess he's second shooting for free. I will end up with 35, 85, 135 when I get a second body. But for now, to avoid switching lenses and missing things, would a zoom be best for my situation? So he's saying when he, like, ideally he'd have two bodies, 35, 85, 135. But currently, well, he will have a 5D Mark IV. He won't be buying a second body. He's only going to have that one camera. Should he have a zoom lens, like, and he goes on to say, if so, a 24-70 or a Sigma equivalent. So, Tom, if you, for this, for Liam, if he's got one camera and he's just getting into wedding photography, he's doing like second shooting and stuff, what would you say?
There are two kind of answers, I think, to this question. Excuse me. Okay, I'll answer the question directly first, without peppering it with some opinion, like some sort of side opinion.
Sure.
I think that to directly answer his question, there's only one contender, and that's the 24-70. Would you agree?
Sure. I see.
As a direct answer to his question, what would be a one lens that would, out of all the lenses he could possibly get, most probably the Canon 24-70, the new one, that which has, I think, is it stabilized? Maybe it's not stabilized.
I don't even know. Yeah, Canon. Okay, I have a different.
What would you say? What would your answer be?
Well, I didn't know until just now. I thought about it. When you're a second shooter, I think usually you are standing further back and you need a longer lens. Yep. I might encourage him to get a 70-200.
But is his question referring to one lens while second shooting or one lens for his own solo weddings?
Let's assume it's while he's... Okay, well, let's do an answer for each.
Okay.
For second shooting...
I totally agree with you.
I'd go the longer lens, because 70 is okay. Like 70's quite close.
Yeah. Yeah.
200's great. You probably don't need all of it, but that way you don't have to be right next door to the primary photographer. You can be way back, and you can get all those, you know, sweet shots. Get all that nice compression. You can do wicked portraits. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I agree.
But you'd also have another lens. You'd have to have like a 35. And the 70-200.
Well, if you're second shooting, you might not have to, though, right?
Maybe.
I agree with you.
70-200, like for prep.
I would even say, or an 85 or a 135, if you're just shooting. If you're just second shooting, but what about? I kind of understood his question as meaning,
if he's going out as a,
or if he's going
shooting
on his
some
own.
Weddings. Okay. Let's tackle that one then.
Well, then I would say, to answer his question bluntly, 24-70.
24-70.
But what do you think the next thing I'm going to say is?
Yeah, don't do it. Get two Mark IIIs.
Even if they're Mark IIs, like, I think that if you are going to shoot a wedding on your own and you go into it with one camera, that is professional suicide.
Yeah.
Pending.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yes.
There's absolutely, under no circumstance should you do that. Two bodies is an absolute minimum. And I think that's, yeah, I don't know anyone who would disagree with that. Like, it's, you don't have to use both, just have a second body.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's got the 700D. Could he use that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, what it's if not he ideal, got, but it should be fine.
What if he just got another crop? You know, you don't really want to go crop. Because he could get like a 7D.
Yeah,
because they're really cool. But
people have been taking great photos on those cameras for a long time. Like, again, it's not ideal, but it'd be okay to start.
I think it's the same sensor.
I started on.
What'd you start on? 40? No, you had a 400?
Oh, yeah, I had a 400, but I didn't shoot. My first weddings I did on 5D Mark I's.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's... a 24-70 is going to be okay. It's going to be good.
You definitely need a flash though for evening stuff, because f/2.8, especially on older bodies, is not going to cut it.
That's quite true. Yeah, get some Godox flashes, but the lithium ion ones, the lithium. Yeah. So hang on, have we actually answered the question? Yes, probably the 24-70. If he's second shooting, 70-200 might be better.
Yep.
But in reality, you really need.
Mate, yeah. Even if you need to borrow one or rent one, I don't think you're playing with fire. If you're shooting the ceremony and something craps out in your camera, like, it's a recipe for disaster.
And I would argue that being a professional photographer at weddings, the look that f1.4 gives you and the look that f2 or 2.8 gives you at 135, your standard iPhone, your standard Joe Blogs at a wedding cannot do that. And that's kind of a big part of what separates us from your average Uncle Bob, is that you can get those images that people don't see every day.
Yep, agree.
So to be going out with a 24 to 70, you're not really, your images aren't going to have that sparkle. They're not going to have that that X factor.
Yep.
Hey, did I tell you, I just got Kat a Canon 35mm f2 lens. Oh,
for video or for stills?
For stills. So she's taking a 35 f2 to weddings now.
Is that a full frame lens?
Yes, full frame.
Man, I bet that's a really nice little lens.
It's so light, and it's amazing how large the aperture is when you look at it. But I got it for her because she's going to be going to Sony in after the season, and she needed another 35, and I really just didn't want to spend any money. Yeah. I even got a third-party hood for it, and it's so crap.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. It was $21 or something.
Oh my God. Is that the IS lens?
Yeah, IS, yeah.
Oh, that's so weird. I thought that was a crop lens.
No, they do a 24 pancake.
Yeah. That's here it crop. Is on a full frame.
And they're not that much. It was pretty cheap.
You know what? Because that's really similar to the Batis 40 F2. Like, it's a similar size, a similar idea.
Yeah.
And like, with an F1.4 lens, I still think that the majority of the day, you don't need 1.4.
Mm. Well, and I would say, especially on, like, if using a Canon Mark III, the focusing system, I find, is not reliable enough where it's going to nail focus on f1.4. It's not so bad, like, if the subject's a meter away from you and you're really blurring the background.
Yeah.
That's okay, but it's more when you go a bit further back.
Totally.
And suddenly it just doesn't, like, nothing's in focus.
Yeah.
Whereas with these Sonys, man,
that's amazing.
It's never a problem. I'm shooting at 1.4 and I'm like, you know, and maybe I'm culling on Lightroom. I'm just going, oh yeah, looks good. And then I go to one, I'm like, it's f1.4. Like, is it actually in focus? And you zoom in.
Yep.
It's just perfect. It's incredible.
It's so good. So good.
Hopefully, Liam, we helped you there, mate. If I was you, Liam, I would get a one point. Well, I'd just go all Sony, bro. If I was you, I wouldn't worry about Canon. Okay, I understand. Secondhand market, all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
Get a Mark IV, sure. I mean, dude, I never owned a Mark IV. I only had Mark IIIs.
Oh, they're very capable, eh? I don't think he needs a Mark IV.
How about this, Tom? Would you have one Mark IV or two Mark IIIs?
Oh, 100% two Mark IIIs. 100%.
So, and then maybe you could just get like a Canon. Dude, get the 40mm pancake lens for Canon. Because it's so cheap. Okay, it's f2.8, but you're away. You're away shooting, and you've got your two bodies, and then save up for, nice glass.
Mm.
What else is cheap is the 100mm f2.
Yeah, it really is. And that's a pretty good lens, eh?
That's a good lens. Dude, you could get the 40mm 2.8 and the 100mm f2. You're going to take awesome photos, sharp
photos. How much is the 40mm? It's really cheap, right?
It's like $200 or something. In New Zealand, it's $200. I think so.
Where's Liam from? Australia?
UK.
British, UK.
So it's like, I don't know, £150? I don't know. Cheap.
I reckon that 35 f2 is the perfect companion to the 100 f2.
For a Canon user starting out. Yeah. Because that is more expensive, though. That's more like, I guess it would be £500.
Yeah.
I'm just halving whatever it is in New Zealand.
Yeah.
But if he can afford that, there you go. And if you buy secondhand, Liam, I reckon that's the way to go, because you can buy and sell and you don't lose money.
Preach.
Do we? I think we did that justice.
Yeah, I think we did.
Sorry, Liam, if it wasn't what you wanted to hear. The answer to any question, just buy Sony.
So funny. The Sonying. Do you think, Greg, that this has been one of our top episodes?
What do you mean?
I just think that I can tell that I'm a little end of season jaded.
Right.
And I can definitely tell you that you are hungover AF. And I'm wondering if everyone up there is like, these guys are not on point today.
I'm honestly, I have been watching the clock being like, can we be over?
let's call it a day.
Should we wrap it up?
I have some, just as we were recording, I thought of some other really cool stuff that I acquired that I want to talk about this week, but I'm very happy to leave it until next week and we can do like a Christmas episode.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, that would be nice.
Yep.
Cool. Okay, Tom, so what are we going to make snappin'? Wasn't it cool everyone sitting in their hat photos?
That was awesome. That was awesome. Yeah. We should have a new...
Yeah, what's the new one?
I don't know. Oh, how about... You know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see everyone's office set up.
Oh, right. I think we did that once before and maybe... Oh, did we? No one. It might have been before we had any listeners.
Because no one... no one wants to share a photo of their desk is like too messy or whatever.
All the empty coffee cups and
Man.
Okay, dude. So everybody, make your office photos snappin'.
The worst end to the most tired episode we've. Oh, sorry guys. We'll be in way better form next week.
Promise.
All right.
All right.
See you, mate.
See you, mate.